Hi, this is the Welter Podcast. What is welter? It can be a verb meaning to move in turbulent fashion. In our case, it's University of Baltimore's premier literary journal, founded in 1965. We are imaginative collaborators in the Creative Writing and Publishing Arts MFA program. We're always looking for great writing and art. We'd love to publish your best work. Hit us up. I'm Alex Hewitt. My colleague, Liz Holland, and I caught up with Stephen Leyva. Stephen Leyva was born in New Orleans, Louisiana, and raised in Houston, Texas. His poems have appeared or are forthcoming in Two Bridges Review, Scalawag, Nashville Review, Jubilant, Vinyl, Prairie Schooner, and Best American Poetry 2020. He is a Cave Canem Fellow and author of the chapbook Low Parish and author of The Understudies Handbook, which won the Gene Feldman Poetry Prize from Washington Writers Publishing House. Stephen holds an MFA from the University of Baltimore, where he is an assistant professor in the Klein Family School of Communications Design. In this episode, he reads us two of his poems from the new book, The Understudies Handbook. Enjoy.
Was the book scheduled to come out this time, or did you have more time to work on it? Like, did it just kind of, it was a coincidence that it's happening now during this weird time in history? I mean, it's so great.
This was the schedule. This was always the schedule.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, it was always scheduled. October 15th is the official release date. Okay. So it was, the production schedule is rapid for the Washington Writers Publishing House, who is the press. So I found out in January that I'd won their contest. And then October 15th was the date. So, we're talking 10 months, you know, and other production schedules could be as much as a year and a half, a full year, if not more sometimes. I'm not bemoaning that. I think I didn't have any problem with the time frame, but COVID did not help.
Can you tell us about the collection of poems that you have in the book? Like, what inspired that, and how did that come together?
So the book's called The Understudies Handbook. It's a book I've been working on for 7 years. The earliest poems in it were written around 7 years ago. It tries to explore a little bit about the roles that we're prepared for in society, but then not allowed to play. And I think that intersects with those of us who have marginalized identities. It intersects with the ways in which we might have multi-ethnic or multiplicity of identities, and how do we resolve them in a place that is sometimes hard, in America, that's sometimes hard to live in. It also is drawing a little bit on my background in theater. I thought I was going to be an actor as a profession. It's trying to sort of I think about that idea of what an understudy is. It's someone who is paid to prepare and then wait. How it goes, they often will have a few performances that are scheduled for them specifically, but they are called upon when disaster strikes, so I didn't intend for that, but they are insurance, in some ways, and so I didn't intend for that to sort of intersect with a global pandemic, But I also think that poems are small productions of language. They're small theater productions of language, and that way of thinking about them has been something that's been evocative to me and made me interested and kept me curious about what the possibilities of poems can be. So a lot of them are born out of that, there's a fair amount of New Orleans where I was born in it. There's a fair amount of Houston where I grew up in it, and there's a fair amount of Baltimore. Those three cities kind of anchor the locales in the book.
Well, we'd love for you to share a poem or two.
Sure, I'd be happy to. All right, let's see. I'm going to read a poem about a middle school dance. So,
I'm already uncomfortable.
Yeah, if you want to feel a little awkward, like, this is also a poem that was selected for Best American Poetry 2020. So I want to give a shout out to them. And thank you to Jubilat for submitting it. When I feel a whoop coming on for the Feast of Whitsuntide and after school dances. Ain't the butterfly, it's the Tootsie Roll. The speakers pose as a polemic against your narrow hips. This circles musk, classmates grinding like black pepper in a cheap mill, uneven, coarse. Shamelessly, you practice outside the arc of polo shirts and crop tops and starchy jeans, sharp enough to cut penumbras from eighth graders. Summon an adolescent faith to push past the girl who laid her tongue in your mouth like a lisp on a field trip to the zoo right in front of the rhino exhibit. Your lonely Afro-Latino blood bids the center of hype, ooh, and funk to be filled with your inheritance, flat feet, a skinny boy's sense of rhythm, and a soft uptown fade. Go boy, go, you've only heard in church. This dance is different than the Holy Ghost shout filling half an hour on Sunday. Nothing like the body rock of your father's bachata he'd pull out to prove men with flat asses could dance. Still, you press and press, throw your knees like bolos, catch up to the DJ's scratch in time for the song to switch choruses. Boys to men, don't wait till the water runs dry. Those violins still weep for the awkward slow drags you'll soon try. But there's a 2-second panoply where you've imitated the other boys in their non-buttered fly, in their roll-toot suite. There, at least a hip moment of locomotion where no one could charge you with a lack of blackness. To the left, to the right, more flame than Pentecost. Eyes like two upper rooms, holy ghosted, your body becoming a tongue spoken.
Oh my God.
A little bit of nostalgia there.
Oh, I love the creep of the heat in the end, Pentecost, and the sweet, sweet tongue, body like a tongue. Come on.
Roll and the flat ass can dance. Like,
it's true.
Have you found yourself, have you done anything in the past, what is it now, 6 months? Have you stepped outside of your comfort zone as far as looking for another creative outlet? Have you discovered another talent that you might have? And has that been something that you've thought of doing or engaged in doing or challenged yourself to do?
I think the last thing that I did to step out of my comfort zone was to go on your Mortified podcast and program.
Unstaged with your... Yeah.
I think, that was in February of 2020, and I think I fulfilled my stepping out of my comfort zone quota for the year. not a whole lot. I wouldn't say, like, there's nothing that I was, like, waiting to do or try and that I haven't. And some of it was just because there was so much focus on making sure that the book was what it needed to be, and that I was hitting deadlines and stuff like that, and we missed a bunch of deadlines too. It wasn't anybody's fault but my own, but I didn't really find there to be much space in there. But the things that I think I've been doing, or like, I should say thankful for, is I realized how much time I get to spend with my family in a way that is not grating. I'm thankful that we like each other,
You want to wrap up with one more poem?
Sure. Right. Okay. Let's see. So we read a poem about a middle school dance. I'll read the last poem in the book. It's called Anti-Confessional 3. This isn't a secret. I have failed to love with the patience of hibiscus root, whose buds bloom with no thought of being tea. I have not loved my innocence, overdressed in morning light. How can the earth keep turning to the thing that will kill it? Oh, sun, bring me a warm hill in August, an echo of a fragile and immortal green, a better remembrance of my grandma's eyes. I have failed to forget love is one of many higher choruses, and yes, there are octaves of light that linger. Can we still call love, love anymore? Or have we avoided failure? Every ode must fail if there is to be a higher love.
Thank you for listening. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook for up-to-date submission calls.